The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So in our meditation practice, we explore, as I mentioned in the guided meditation, learning how to be present for what is happening right now. That we are exploring bringing our mind and our body together at the same place, at the same time. And this is a form of meditation, whether or not we are attending to one specific experience or not. If we are present and aware in the present moment, we may be present and aware of a flow of experience in the present moment, or we may be present and aware for stabilizing on something like the breath. But that is our practice of meditation, to begin to become aware of what is happening right here and right now. Ultimately, our mindfulness practice does allow any experience, anything at all that's happening in the present moment, anything that has come to be in the present moment, to be known, to be witnessed, for us to be present for. That mindfulness can meet any experience. In a way, we can think of mindfulness as kind of like a mirror. The mirror does not get changed by what it reflects. It just reflects what's there. And likewise with mindfulness, our awareness can reflect or be aware of any experience. This begins to make it possible to be aware, not just sitting in our meditation practice, but also throughout our day, throughout our lives, to integrate this possibility of becoming aware of whatever's happening moment to moment throughout our day, while at work, while on the phone, on the computer, talking to our partners, our children. It is possible to be present, recognizing what is happening in the present moment. And these instructions, last week I talked about how love and wisdom come together to support being able to be with what's happening. That essentially, kind of embedded in the meditation instructions is, yes, it is possible to be mindful of anything at all. And last week I talked about cultivating and supporting, allowing our experience to be as it is. That essentially, that reflective power of mindfulness, that mirror-like quality, and one of the things about the mirror is it allows whatever's to be there to be there. And likewise, we can cultivate this allowing capacity of our minds. And I talked about how supportive that is in our practice to allow what is here, and that allowing is supported by wisdom, because we begin to recognize, essentially, one of the things I think I talked about last week is that what is here? I mentioned this in the guided meditation, you know, what is here? What is here? What is already here? It's here. Resistance to what has already come to be. Resistance to that, wanting to hold on to that, wanting to push it away, is essentially creating suffering in the present moment. It's creating tension and tightness and constriction in the present moment. And the possibility exists of allowing what is already here to be here. It is already here. We might as well explore what it means to allow it to be here. Because not allowing it to be here is essentially not in alignment with what is true, what is real. And so this possibility of allowing and opening to what is already here, it is possible. And kind of embedded in the meditation instructions is that encouragement that we can open to whatever is here. Cultivating this allowing attention, this loving attention, this kind attention. And yet, what we often find when we sit down to meditate is that there is resistance. There is wanting to hold on to something, wanting to push something away. And so this is the question that I'd like to explore today. How do we actually cultivate this allowing attention? Because just simply being aware of what is happening, just knowing, oh, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, it's not quite enough because of the way our minds work. Our minds are kind of, they're very devious in a way, you know, that there are things that are hidden below the level of our conscious awareness often. And those things that are hidden below the level of our conscious awareness often influence how we are with experience. And so if we are noticing, oh, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, and not aware that we are resisting or wanting to hold on to something or are confused about something or believe something about what's happening. And I think in meditation in particular, we might have some beliefs like, oh, this isn't supposed to be happening. If I were a better meditator, this wouldn't be happening. Or this should be happening. I should be able to create such and such experience. I should be able to create calm in my experience. So these are beliefs or attitudes that may be kind of informing or influencing how we are paying attention to our experience, but we're not really consciously aware of those beliefs or attitudes. And so there can be these, I sometimes call them filters on our experience. And we're not aware of those filters. And what's happening in that case is that essentially those habits, they are often habits or patterns of mind, familiar habits or patterns of mind, impatience or confusion or wanting or aversion, that we are bringing to how we are paying attention. And with those as filters, we may, because they're so habitual, we may not actually recognize that they're happening or not be consciously aware that they're happening. It's kind of like we're wearing colored glasses. And you know, when we're wearing colored glasses, we may you know, kind of get inured or not be so aware that we've got that filter. You know, after we've worn this color glasses for a while, it's like everything, like if you're wearing blue glasses, everything kind of looks blue, but you become less aware that it looks blue. It just becomes normal. And so you're not so aware you're looking through these blue glasses. And yet you might be able to, If you begin to recognize that, you might be able to take those off and then recognize, oh, I've been wearing these blue glasses. Or suddenly somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you're wearing blue glasses, and you might take them off, and it's like, wow, look at that. There's a big difference. And so, you know, with our meditation, there is the possibility of beginning to recognize kind of what's below the level of our subconscious awareness. To begin to recognize what the filters are, what the views are, what the moods or the attitudes are that are influencing how we are paying attention. And then we might be able to at least know we're looking through that perspective. You know, so for, I think many of us might be familiar with the kind of, I mean, I think we intuitively know this happens, that we look through a particular lens at times. If something happens and we find ourselves, you know, lost or caught in a little bit of a depression, for instance, We may know what happened that triggered that experience. But what we see is that mood is carried around with us, and it influences how we're seeing everything. It might also be like we start looking for things about which to be depressed. This kind of thing happens when we are not clearly aware of what's happening, not clearly aware of what's going on below the surface. And so it can be useful in our meditation, in our mindfulness practice, to have a tool, a way to begin to get in touch with these filters, a way to begin to open to them. I mean, they're below, often, as I said, below this horizon of subconscious awareness. And so how do we get at them? There's a pretty simple tool that's pretty effective, actually. And it is simply to ask yourself, what is my relationship to what's happening right now? What is the attitude? What is the attitude in the mind right now? This use of questions in meditation, it requires a little bit of an art to it. It's not about thinking about trying to figure out the answer, but it is more of a kind of a dropping in of a question or an opening to the possibility. You could even just drop in the question, how am I right now? There's what's happening, and how am I? How am I right now? Using it as a question, not to try to figure it out, but almost to just orient the mind to be curious about that, to be curious about what is going on below the level of conscious awareness, not trying to dig, not trying to figure it out. I sometimes think of this tool or describe this tool with an analogy of if there's a smooth body of water and you drop a pebble into that body of water, there very naturally will be ripples on the surface. And very similarly, if you are meditating and you drop a question in to your meditation, there will very naturally be kind of results of that question, kind of an effect of that question. And sometimes that effect is related to the question. It is related to the question, but sometimes it's very clearly almost an answer to the question. Not something that we have to figure out, but something that is kind of pointed out to us. So we explore that possibility. So paying attention to pain in the knee, or an ache in the elbow, or some physical unpleasant sensation. It may just be noticing it. And how am I with this? Wanting it to go away. Or paying attention to it in order that it will go away. So this attitude can be revealed as we kind of just drop in this question. It's not something to try to figure out. So in our mindfulness practice, what is happening, whatever is happening, is not as important as exploring our way to this kind of loving attention or kind attention, wise attention, we could say. The relationship to experience. If we are suffering in any way, if there's any sense of dissatisfaction or confusion or kind of tension in the mind about what is happening in the present moment, there is some hidden. There's some attitude going on. There's something going on that's kind of below the level of our conscious awareness. We may be experiencing, anger or confusion or depression, and feeling the challenge or the unpleasantness of those states of mind. And yet the mind itself can be at ease with whatever is happening. And there's an interesting kind of shift that happens as we find our way to this loving awareness, this kind attention, wise attention. As we find our way to that wise attention, we experience a shift in our relationship, in what it means to be present for something like depression or anger or confusion. And we find that it's possible, even as that unpleasant state is there, even as that difficult experience is there, we may find that the mind actually can be completely at ease with that. And that creates a very different climate in which that experience happens. And essentially creates the conditions for that difficult or reactive experience to become known, to become understood, and to transform, to be released. There's a hugely different relationship, a big difference between being angry and being aware, oh, this is the experience of anger, with that kind of loving or kind attention. Huge difference between those two, and huge difference in the experience of those two. Last week something happened for me where my mind got very low energy and felt, it was a very familiar feeling, one that felt like depression. That I had experienced many times in my life. Only at this point, I got caught in it just a little bit and thought, oh, I'm so depressed. And then the mindfulness kicked in and recognized, oh, actually, okay, what's happening here is that there's this unpleasant experience in the mind, in the body and in the mind. There's a kind of an unpleasant low energy state happening. And then I noticed there was resistance to that. And recognized, okay, that resistance created a kind of tension in the mind. And every now and then in observing that tension, so that resistance to that low energy state, when that was happening, it was really felt as depression. But then as the resistance became known, and this is the attitude. Resistance in this case is the attitude. And I checked in. Okay, what's the relationship here? I don't want this. It shouldn't be here. And as that became known, at times it would just release. And then there was simply this low energy, unpleasant experience. And the mind just felt, it just felt like there were waves of release happening in the mind. There's so much ease and peace that was possible in the mind, even with this low energy, unpleasant experience. And so this is the power of this loving attention, a complete shift, even as reactive states, even as difficult states are happening, complete shift in the experience with it, and the possibility of a transformation. Essentially, as we carry our familiar or habitual filters, attitudes, agendas, ideas into how we are looking at experience, we almost unwittingly have our foot on the accelerator of that pattern. Like whatever, like for instance, that that state of low energy, unpleasant experience, if I had not noticed the resistance, my habit of mind, I used to have a lot of depression in my life. My habit of mind would have been to, that without noticing that resistance to that low energy, unpleasant state, my habit would have been to, like, think thoughts. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, you know, what am I going to do about this? Or why am I depressed? And what happened? And how can I fix that? And what's going on? And so that, it's like that would have had the accelerator. I would have been cultivating that state, cultivating that depression, encouraging it, essentially. This is so much of what happens in our lives as we are unaware of the filters going on underneath the surface. And so fortunately, in my practice, I have looked at this attitude a lot. And so a lot of our suffering comes because we are not aware of that hidden attitude. When we become aware of that, of those hidden attitudes, there's the possibility, it's kind of like, I might have used this analogy last week. It's kind of like putting the car into neutral. Instead of having our foot on the gas pedal, it's like we put our car into neutral and the gears are disengaged. And so the pattern itself may not stop immediately. It's like in a car, when you put a car in neutral, if you're going fast down the freeway and you put the car into neutral, the car doesn't come to a stop. But it will come to a stop because you're no longer fueling it. And likewise, as we find our way to that loving attention, to that wise attention, it's like putting our mind into neutral. And it allows those patterns to naturally come to a stop, and we learn something about those patterns and how they're put together at the same time. And so this tool of checking the attitude is so supportive for unveiling these hidden agendas. There's four basic flavors of attitude, and I want to just talk briefly about these four flavors of attitude. Pretty much any experience, any kind of hidden attitude will fall into one of these four camps, and yet there'll be many varieties of these four types of attitudes. There's basically wanting something to stop happening, an aversion kind of attitude, wanting something to go away, to get rid of it. There's wanting something to stay, holding on to, a trying to make something continue, a greed. There's a confusion, a kind of a uncertainty about what's happening or a disconnection with experience. And then there is what we could call wise attitude, loving attitude, friendly attitude, balance of mind. It's okay. This is okay. It's okay that this is happening. Sometimes it has that flavor, just okay. It's okay. We don't have to like it. But the heart can feel okay with it, a kind of a peace or an ease with what's happening. And so I want to just talk briefly about each of these three and some of the flavors. So the aversion, the not wanting something to happen. This is many flavors of this, including resistance. Just don't want this. It can go from as subtle as resistance or something like impatience to something as strong as hatred or rage or cruelty. So it's got a real range to it. There can be the kind of the obvious aversion of I don't like this, I want this to go away, or there can be more subtle like annoyance or impatience. by paying attention properly, this thing will go away, this kind of view or perspective on our experience. So many flavors of aversion, irritation, fear, anger, annoyance, impatience, rage, hostility, anxiety, so many, many flavors of this kind of attitude. And so dropping in, you know, if you drop in the question, you know, what is my relationship? If something unpleasant is going on in your experience, there's a good possibility there's an aversive relationship to it. And so dropping in that question and seeing, sometimes it's amazing to me how often there can be just this very subtle view in the back of the mind of, oh, I don't like this. And even kind of knowing it, kind of being aware of it, but not clearly aware of it, and how it's very much as if the clear awareness is like taking off the glasses, taking off the colored glasses. And you can know then that those colored glasses are happening. It's like, oh yeah, there's this unpleasant experience and I don't like it. I want it to go away. That's essentially our mindfulness kind of coming into alignment with what is actually going on in our minds. We're not trying in that movement to stop the not liking. That might be what we think we need to do. Oh, there's unpleasant experience and I don't like it. I should allow this. That might be what we think is meant by allowing, is to stop the not liking. But what we're asked to do instead is to allow the not liking. This is a kind of a way of backing into this allowing mind. We open to what is actually here. Yes, there is this unpleasant experience and I don't like it. That's what's happening. So much when I've opened to that finally, it's kind of like the mind goes, oh, thank you. You finally acknowledged what's actually going on here. That mind that's saying, I don't like this, part of what it's asking for is to be seen. And so when we clearly see it, the mind can relax a little bit. And so then we've got this kind of bigger picture of what we're looking at. The unpleasant thing and the not liking. Sometimes there can be another relationship to the not liking. An anger or a fear or a confusion. And we can check that too. In checking the attitude, I don't encourage you to do kind of an endless regress kind of thing. It's like, oh, what's my attitude about this? Oh, I don't like that. And what's my attitude about that? Oh, I'm confused about that. And what's my attitude about that? Oh, I'm confused about confusion. And it just kind of can go into an endless regress. What I'd encourage is checking it from time to time. Over time, this tool begins to be a very natural tool, and it begins to kind of become a natural orientation, that as we are noticing something, we're kind of naturally, we're cultivating that curiosity of, how are we with this? How am I with this? And there's some good times to check. And one of those times is if it feels like you are struggling in your meditation, in any form of meditation that you're doing, this tool can be useful. If you're doing concentration practice with the breath, if you're doing open awareness practice, if you're doing metta practice, any practice, this tool can be a valuable companion. So if you feel like you're stuck or struggling, checking in. Because if you are struggling, there's probably some hidden relationship. With concentration practice, noticing being with the breath and feeling like, ah, it feels so hard to be with the breath. What's the attitude? Check the relationship. Maybe the relationship is boredom. It's like, oh, this breath is so boring. Like, okay, there's breath and boredom. That's happening right now. See what would happen to the meditation if you acknowledge that boredom. So that's a little bit about the aversion side. The greed side, there's some similarities. It's just got different flavors to it. I mean, it's also flavors of reactive emotions. You know, holding on to, wanting to keep something. It's the flip side of wanting to get rid of something. You know, often we want to hold on to something because we want something that's pleasant to stay. We don't want it to go. We don't want to experience the unpleasantness of it going. And so there's this kind of holding on to something. And there's a lot of, there's going to be the obvious wantings. This feels good. This is right. This is the way it's supposed to be. I like this. I want more of this. I want this to stay. Those kind of thoughts kind of reveal that attitude of greed, of liking, of wanting. And there's more subtle versions of this too. Kind of almost a leaning in or an expectation of, ooh, maybe something will happen. Just some subtler forms of this. A little bit of excitement or amusement can be reflections of this subtle greed. And again, we're not trying to get rid of these. We are trying to explore opening to the fullness of our human experience, seeing, can we become aware of everything that's happening right now? This is possible. I am convinced this is possible. We think of there being a horizon of the subconscious below which we can't see what's going on. But the more I look at what's going on in my mind, the more I explore being present with what's happening in the moment, the more I see in my own experience that horizon of the subconscious getting lower and lower to the point where I think there's nothing inherently out of the realm of our subconscious experience in the realm of our intentions and actions and emotions and beliefs. There are some things, I think, in terms of how our body systems function that are probably below the level of our conscious awareness. And the mind takes care of so much of like how our heart beats and how our blood pumps and things like that. And I don't know if we can become aware of all of that or not. But in terms of where our emotional life is born from and how our relationship to experience is created, I think there's no barrier to that. And so again, we're not trying to get rid of anything. I look at this exploring of the attitude as being an exploration of lowering that horizon of the subconscious. We're trying to see what's here. We're not trying to get rid of it. We're trying to bring it into the light of awareness. And so the subtler forms of greed, of leaning in, of expecting, of excitement, of amusement. These deserve to be seen and known. And then there's also this delusion as an attitude. This is much more complex. I spent 8 weeks talking about delusion a few months ago in this class, and so I'm not going to try to, you know, talk a lot about it right now. But I will offer a few key points around how we might recognize delusion as an attitude. One key area of delusion is basically just being disconnected from experience. Kind of states of mind that of kind of checked out. So states of mind like sleepiness, dullness, sloth and torpor, spaciness, checked out kind of states of mind. Often these have a flavor of delusion to them, and yet they are not inherently delusional. They are not inherently imbued with delusion, because it is possible to be aware, clearly aware, that our mind is disconnected, that our mind is spaced out, that the mind is sleepy. It is possible to be aware of that. Again, like that mirror, I often use this analogy when I get to this point. That mirror can be coated with steam. If we've taken a shower in the bathroom, it's coated with steam. And so, you know, we stand in front of the mirror and it's like, well, this mirror, it's not doing its job. It's not reflecting me. But we know that that mirror is doing its job, actually. It is reflecting every drop of water on the mirror. It's just not doing the job we want it to do in that moment. And likewise, very similarly with states of mind like sleepiness or dullness or spaciness or checked outness, often we have an idea, this isn't supposed to be happening. I don't want this to be happening. It's wrong that this is happening. I can't be mindful while this is happening. We have those beliefs, essentially, in our mind about that state. Partly because we have an idea about what we want to be paying attention to. I'm trying to pay attention to my breath. I'm so sleepy. There's no way I can pay attention to my breath. Well, that might be true. It might be true that the mind is sleepy enough that it's not able to be present for the breath. But if you've got that thought, if you're not just asleep, if you're not just already asleep, and you have the thought, I'm so sleepy, I can't meditate, you are aware of sleepiness. You are already aware of sleepiness. Perhaps you might be able to be mindful. It's kind of like, again, stepping back into what's actually happening. Sleepiness is happening, spaciness is happening, checked out is happening. Way more than I thought would be possible. It is possible to be aware of that. It's like coming into alignment. It's like not trying to deny that the mirror's got steam on it. Like, yeah, this mind has a fog in it. Fog is what's happening right now. Fog is what's happening right now. So this is one flavor of that attitude. Maybe you're trying to pay attention to something and the mind just feels very dull. It's like, okay, dullness is what's happening right now. This is a flavor of this delusion. And again, as soon as we become aware of any of these attitudes, as soon as they are brought into our conscious awareness, they're no longer below that surface of our subconsciousness, and they no longer have quite as much opportunity to be driving the bus, to be driving our choices, our views, our ideas. And so as soon as they come into conscious awareness, there's much more possibility for this allowing to happen, allowing the mind to be dull. Another form of delusion that can be revealed is basically in the realm of beliefs. That we believe something about what is going on. We believe it should be happening, it shouldn't be happening. We believe, just checking into what is being believed right now. This is a very useful question. When I talked about using this tool to check the attitude, drop in the question, see what the ripples are. Sometimes they'll be in a very immediate and clear response. Oh, I see what's happening is I don't like this. Okay. Just recognizing, you know, holding both of those together. There's this that's happening and I don't like it. Sometimes it's not so obvious what is happening. Sometimes the ripples don't produce a clear response. There are different reasons for why that might happen. And drop in the question and don't get a particular response to that question. I would not encourage thinking about it at that point. Definitely not. Just continue with what's happening. Continue with noticing what's happening. It might be that what's happening is not so obvious, a not so obvious form of attitude. It might be one of the subtler forms of attitude. It might be the quieter forms of greed or aversion that just aren't quite ready to bubble to the surface yet. It might be a form of the a belief. Beliefs tend to be deeper in our subconscious than our emotional reactions. And so checking in, if you're not getting a particular response, what is being believed right now? What's being believed? This is a kind of attuning towards a particular flavor of attitude. And even if there is greed or aversion at work, there is some belief that is kind of below the surface of that. And so this is almost always a useful question. What is being believed right now? And again, not trying to figure it out. It's kind of like we're dropping in the question. If those beliefs are buried deeply, they may not come to the surface. But sometimes our beliefs, our attitudes are just below the surface of that subconscious, and then dropping in the question does create the ripples that we can see. What are the beliefs? What is the attitude? And then there's this fourth flavor of attitude, balance of mind or wise attention. This is when the mind is basically at ease with whatever is happening in the present moment. And we find our way to this balance of mind by being willing to explore what's in the way of it, by being willing to check in and open to what is being resisted, what is being held on to. So we can find our way. It's almost like we step back. We step back. So something's happening. I kind of think of it as almost opening in this way, stepping back. Like something's happening. We almost think in visual terms of looking at something in front of us. And we may not be aware of something in our minds, something happening back in the back of our minds. And as we kind of step back and open, what's the attitude? It's like, oh, that thing is happening and I want it to continue. Okay. That's what's going on. And then those things become what we are aware of. And we step back. Can this be allowed? Can these both be allowed? And then maybe still there's some kind of tension going on. A frustration, perhaps. Oh, okay. Can I step back? Oh, this frustration is happening. Sometimes what we have to do is step back to the broadest container. It's like sometimes something is so big and so complex. It feels like there's so many different relationships, so many different attitudes going on. It's kind of like, okay, it's a big mess. It's a big mess and I don't like it. That's what's going on. Can that be allowed? Holding it with just really wide arms. Stepping back, allowing what's here to be here. And so that this allowing attitude is this balance of mind. It's got many flavors to it. Sometimes it might be felt as simply okay. It's like, oh, this is what's happening and I feel okay about this. Or it might be a feeling of love or peace or ease or calm. All of these would be, or patience. All of these would be flavors of wise attitude. So I've talked about like what we're doing here. We're exploring opening to this primarily by exploring allowing our relationships to come into conscious awareness. one of the primary tools for cultivating this allowing attitude. How to get there is through allowing our conflicted attitudes, our reactive attitudes, to come into conscious awareness. This is one of the best tools for that, to back into that wise attitude. Some other supports for this, holding our, maybe consciously you may be able to bring some compassion into your heart for those relationships that we hold. None of us really want to be angry or confused, and yet it is conditioned. Whatever is happening, as I said earlier, whatever is happening in the present moment, it has already come to be. And there are reasons it has come to be. It has been conditioned. It is the natural unfolding of our lives from the beginning of time to this point, including everything. It's this massive network of conditionality that has brought us to this point at this time. And, you know, we can sometimes reflect or recognize the conditions of our own lives that have brought us to this point. For myself, around a pattern of self-hatred, very strong pattern in my life, as I began to recognize how that came to be, some through the meditation, some through therapy, I began to understand, you know, the conditions that created that pattern of self-hatred in my mind. And as I began to really clearly open to and recognize, oh, of course this is happening. The conditions, as I could see in the moment, as I could see, oh, this is happening in this moment. Because not only have there been conditions in the past, but there's something happening right now that's reminding me of those conditions in the past. The past is coming into the present right now, and that's being all put together right now. This is the reason this self-hatred is arising. It's conditioned from the past, and it's being conditioned right now. As I began to really open to that conditioning, there was a kind of compassion for myself and an of course-ness, that's, of course this is happening. That of course quality wasn't a kind of roll over and give in to this, but it was much more of a strength of mind that allowed the mind to hold it. It's like, oh, of course this is happening, and it can be met. So the recognition of wisdom, of how our attitudes are conditioned, really supports us in opening to and meeting our states of mind, our attitudes. So this is a way wisdom can support us. I find using wisdom reflections, actually, using wisdom just reminders, almost. It's kind of like dropping in a little beautiful gem into that pool of water and seeing what the ripples of that are. Just, you know, reminding ourselves, oh, this is nature. Of course this is happening. This is nature is a kind of a framing that was offered to me by my teacher Sayadaw Utejaniya. He suggested this as a wisdom reflection. Just dropping that into my mind when I was feeling something challenging helped me to remember, oh right, this is conditioned. It's like this. Of course it's like this. This is nature. You could also drop in reflections on impermanence or unreliability. This is suffering. Another one that I found really useful of late is the reminder, this is already here. It's already here. It's already come to be. Resistance makes no sense. So that reflection has been very supportive. And so bringing these like wisdom gems into the mind can help to create a little bit of balance that may allow us to step into something closer to wise attitude, to loving attention. So this checking of the attitude really shows us how our minds work, how much of our suffering is kind of below the surface, and yet being revealed, being opened to with mindfulness. It creates completely different conditions. Again, like it's like that disengagement of the gears to allow patterns to come to a stop, to begin to understand something about those patterns. And so often we have something below the level of our conscious awareness that is creating suffering in our systems. Like, you know, anger below the surface or fear below the surface. And when we become aware of it, we feel the suffering of it. When it's below the surface, our minds are working overtime to try to figure out how to not feel that feeling without actually being consciously aware of the feeling. Our minds are kind of trying to figure out, well, how do I get this? How do I do this? How do I change this? How do I get rid of this? And so we're lost in the world of the doing, the fixing, the changing, and with some idea about, okay, it's going to be okay when I get there. But not really noticing or recognizing the suffering that's happening right now. And so bringing these hidden or below the conscious awareness attitudes into our conscious awareness, it allows more of our system to support an understanding of how maybe to shift a relationship around that suffering. Our minds, our system essentially wants to move towards a deeper kind of happiness, a deeper kind of well-being. And having these attitudes, having these things below the conscious awareness revealed, like, allows some kind of inner wisdom to also begin to work to release those patterns. And now it's time to stop. Thank you for your attention.